Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. I'm Tagworth, and I'm here with an incredible, incredible guest, one of my favorites from season 49 of Survivor, Sophie Segretti. Sophie, how are you doing? Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh my God, I'm thrilled to be here. It is such a rush to be back, Matt chatting.
Even if the queen of Matt chat. Yeah, we didn't see all of it, but the queen of Matt chat.
Love me a Matt chat. I know that people, I feel like there was some chatter on some of the other castmates on my season that, like, yes, Sophie always talks so much on the mat, but what can I say? You ask me a question, I will answer.
And that's why we love you. That is why we love you. And I feel like we're getting a little bit of Sophie Segretti energy this season. You know, people are taking the Matt chat to the extreme. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we saw a couple of episodes when Kyle got medevaced. We had the argument at the Matt chat, which was ridiculous and brutal. But overall, what are your thoughts on the season so far?
So, you know, it's funny because there is obviously part of me that is sad to be not on season 50, as just like, you know, all of the people in the Survivor universe who've played, there was always a hope that you'd get on it. But on the flip side, I am back being a fan, and that is incredible, especially because let's just talk about the first two episodes were some of my favorite episodes of Survivor in recent memory. And then even like, we'll get to the Zach Brown of it all, I'm sure. But like, that was also the first tribal council where I was like, I have no idea who, like, I feel like the first two tribals I had like more of a sense of, okay, you know, this might happen, but I had no idea who was going home. And like, I love beef, and this is a beef heavy season, and it's a baggage heavy season too. And I love it when people are petty and not just chess players.
And that's what we're getting. And I'm just like, you're so right. There's so many really, you know, one of the beautiful things about returning player seasons is people are bringing their baggage. They've played before. They have ideas. Sometimes their baggage ideas, like Rick Devins with the, with hiding something at Tribal Council. That's in theory baggage because he had this idea going into it. And only somebody who had played the show before kind of would have, maybe not only, but most likely the person who's played before would like have an idea like that. But then we're also seeing like baggage, for example, like Charlie, who is just like hates Rizzo because of the fact that he, quote, didn't vote for his best friend. And I love that we're seeing kind of that kind of baggage, that kind of history rear its head on this season. What are you, your fellow castmate Rizzo, what are your thoughts on this Charlie Rizzo one-sided beef?
First, I want to say I realize that there are like four episodes out, not three. I know the pedants, however you say that word, will get me. So just I know there are four. I'm just bad at math and honestly forgot about Jenna getting voted up. So that's neither here nor there. But okay, my thoughts on the Charlie Rizzo beef. At first, when Rizzo mentioned that Soph was his number one and then he ended up voting for Savannah, I was like, is he trying to distance himself from Savannah for some strategic reason, even though at this point in the game, she had been voted out? Like, was there something there he was thinking of? And then I was like, or does Rizzo not realize how, like, painful this is to Charlie? Because I feel like we, you know, like, a lot of that aftermath happened online. And we didn't really get to see Charlie's reaction live on his season. Like, we saw obviously live him losing on his season, but like a lot of that, I'm sure, processing and anger and grief and like, God, what could have been, came after the fact. And so my take is like, oh, Rizzo, I think you put your foot in your mouth, baby. Like, I guess, you know, maybe part of you is like, there's no way Charlie could be that upset about it. But on the other hand, that's $1 million that Maria fully just gave to Kenzie, which, like, I'm not here to like open up whether or not Kenzie won or not. But like, if I was Charlie, I would be pissed at Maria. And he has every right to be bitter and beefful. But I think Rizzo did not correctly estimate how pissed Charlie was going to be. And now we're seeing what I think is a hilarious, like, Rizzo has no idea that Charlie is like coming for him. Yeah. And I cannot wait to see how that drama unfolds, because Rizzo seems blissfully unaware.
Blissfully unaware, which maybe means that Charlie's doing a really good job at masking how he truly feels. Because, you know, that is like, if Rizzo's like, man, I'm really getting some weird vibes from Charlie, I wonder why that is. If we would be hearing that in confessionals, then maybe, you know, Rizzo would then target Charlie. But because we're not hearing that, I think Charlie's then doing a very good job at truly masking how he feels. I did love this right here. Do you still talk to Maria that Rizzo did? Rizzo went on ChatBCC and was like, yeah, I just used this as like an AMA for everybody that I wanted to, everything I wanted to learn. And he just is like asking people questions and all this stuff. But I do think that should have shined a little bit of light about how he felt. But I do, I don't remember the order of operations here. I can't remember if he told everybody about the vote, him not voting for Sophie, and then asked about Maria. And then maybe when he asked about Maria, he was like, oh no, what have I done? But maybe he also didn't connect it at all.
I mean, there's also a chance that, like, we know this is a TV show. We know that editors be editing. So the timeline might not be exactly as it was shown. I will say one thing I love about Rizzo, like, he is such a fan that I fully could see him being like, to his ChatBCC like AMA comment, like, screw the game, I want to know what like some of my favorite Survivor players' feelings are. And I don't blame him for that at all. But yeah, I agree. I wonder if the timeline was played with at all, and if how it appeared in the episode was chronologically what actually happened.
Yeah. And I also think that, like, another thing about this whole dynamic is we're also seeing this boomerang idol go to somebody who is a part of a rivalry, right? Like, there's this Charlie Rizzo rivalry. Rizzo now has an idol that nobody knows about. Very opposite from your season. Rizzo had an idol that literally everybody knew about. But he has an idol in his hands, and we know kind of the chaos he can stir with an idol. Do you think that now that Rizzo has his idol, this could be a bad thing for Charlie in the long run?
It's funny because, like, I kind of think no, because I do think that, like, I think Rizzo wants to work with Charlie. Like, Rizzo likes Charlie. Had Charlie gotten the idol, I would say bad thing for Rizzo. But I feel like Rizzo, like, this is actually an opportunity for Rizzo to try to actually sow some goodwill with Charlie. And I mean, only time will tell if, like, Rizzo using an idol to save Charlie is enough for him to forgive, you know, Rizzo for crimes of 49 past. But I think Rizzo having an idol might help him get out of this like Charlie beef. But if the tables were turned and Charlie had the idol, I would be like, oh shit, Rizzo, yeah. Like, you better watch your back, boy. You better get finding another idol or finding, I guess this is what's weird about this season is finding idols does not seem to be important.
They don't help. Yeah.
No.
Because you have to send it to somebody else. I actually am happy you talk about this because I think that the boomerang idol is actually a very interesting idea for a change to the idol. Mm-hmm. I like this idea that, you know, you find something, you have the knowledge of who has the idol. That person doesn't know who sent you the idol. Right. And like you then can potentially, you know, use that against them or mm-hmm. use it to build a bridge with them. I actually think it's a quite interesting turn on the idol. But now seeing it in like actual practice where it's three tribes, three mm-hmm. boomerang idols, I just feel like it's way too much boomerang. What do you feel about like the boomerang idol edition and how it's really kind of happening in this season?
I agree with you that like initially I was like, oh, sick. This is giving me like fire token vibe from mm-hmm. 40 where you could like send stuff to people or maybe it was an Edge of Extinction. You could send stuff as you were voted out, which I agree, loved. Like you don't necessarily know who sent it to you. Like that's cool. Also like maybe it'll bite you in the ass. You don't know about that. But I agree with you that like now that we've seen it and we've had a tribe swap and everybody knows there are too many, I think it should have just been one. There should just be one boomerang idol early in the tribe sitch because now like, I mean, it was hilarious when Genevieve found that idol. She was like, are you kidding me? You know, like it's like everybody now knows that this exists. And so I think had there only been one, it could have preserved some of its power and had some normal idols shifted in there. I think it would have made it more fun and the game more interesting. Whereas now, like, yeah, it's a little bit of a tangled web of like who's gotten an idol and they didn't really get it through their own merit, which is like, you know?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot because I think it again. Yeah. We said it was great. And then I'm like, I don't know. Cause then, you know what? I swear if Genevieve, and can I just say, I also love Aubrey. Tiffany was my preseason winner pick. Like, I hate that the people that I love are involved in this. Let me just tell you. But if Genevieve goes out because of a boomerang idol that Aubrey got when she herself found two idols, no one talked to me for a week. Nobody talked to me for a week. I won't be able to handle it.
And I agree with you. And that's like, I feel like some of the angriest that I've been at Survivor have been situations like that where people go out because of some weird chance where like they should have not, like it's the time turner bullshit. It's mm-hmm. like this or that. And that is what this has the potential. This has the potential to backfire in a way where like, I agree. If I was Genevieve, I would throw a fit.
Yeah.
And so I also am like, and I also am like, yeah, loving Tiff, loving Aubrey, also loving Genevieve, but I'm like, I hope that, I'm like, maybe there should be a clause where it can't take out the person who found it, but that kind of negates the fun of it. So it's like, yeah, I don't envy your job, Survivor Game Makers, but this one needs a little bit more work, needs to spend a little bit more time in the oven before you take it out.
Yeah. You know, I think it would be really interesting if you know, again, if it was only one of these and you get it at a reward. Or you get it at, like, there are three regular idols in the game. Or maybe if they had just started with two tribes and there would only be two idols in the game. And then the third idol was this, that was at a reward or at Merge Feast or something. So that, you know, anyone could find it in theory. Or if you win a reward, then you could potentially find it. And then I do think it preserves the intrigue of it. I will say, I was talking with Ryan earlier. And Ryan said, has anybody checked Genevieve's Spotify Wrapped last year? Is Billie Eilish on her Spotify Wrapped? If so, then maybe it works for her. If it's not, I don't know.
That's hilarious. That is a hilarious What? Gosh, brilliant. Brilliant. I know, right? I'm about to snoop. I'm kind of shocked that the Redditors haven't picked that up. That's so funny.
I know. I was like, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I feel like Genevieve only created an Instagram like 3 months ago.
That's true.
I feel like she probably didn't even share it, but
that's true.
Hey,
that's
a good point. She loves Billie Eilish. Maybe it all works out. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this Genevieve Aubrey? Kind of like, what's it called? We've been talking about rivalry. What are you thinking about that?
So I just remember episode one being like, yo, you guys could have like become a really crazy duo. And you went there were only two options for Genevieve and Aubrey. One, like power duo, two, sworn enemies. And like in that first convo, when maybe was it Aubrey who's like, I'm getting weird vibes, or like somebody said something, I think it was Aubrey, I was like, oh no, they're going sworn enemy territory. And like, to a certain degree, you can understand that they on the surface seem to be like pretty similar players, and you know, have been now on like, are they on the same tribe still? Have they been on the same tribe the whole time?
They've been on the same tribe the whole time. Yeah. The swap did not work in their favor.
Right. So like, they've been kind of stuck together, and they just like, I just kind of feel like only one can survive. And I don't know when that moment will come, but I think it's coming soon. And I also think that Genevieve went a little too hard against Aubrey, and I'm worried about her, because I like, Tiff was not playing when she told Aubrey. And I think Aubrey like is kind of playing a little bit of an old school Genevieve game, where she's kind of sitting back, letting things come to her, and Genevieve is being much more aggressive. And I think it's going to make her a little bit of a bigger target, but it's a bummer, because going into it, I was like, those are two players whose games from their original seasons I loved. Mm-hmm. And I guess Aubrey had two original seasons, so whichever one she won, I was like, yes, girl. She almost won. She came in
second to Michelle.
Yes. And did she play twice? Was she Game Changers?
She technically has played three times, but the third time was pretty depressing. She did. She came in, I think, fourth on Game Changers. And then the third time was Edge of Extinction,
yes,
where she did go to Edge of Extinction. And it was just kind of like,
it was sad.
I vividly remember her like trying to untie that rope and her doing that for hours. Then she didn't end up winning her way back. And it was just hard to watch.
That was hard to watch. And I also think I blacked out that she lost to Michelle. No shade to Michelle, but I clearly thought that I had somebody who I wanted to win that season. Love both of their games. And so, yeah, I'm kind of bummed that they're being pitted against each other, but I think they did it to themselves. Like, nobody was like making up a narrative like, oh, it's Genevieve or Aubrey, except for like them. Like, for some reason, they are just little oil and water. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly becoming entertaining TV, because like, Aubrey's giving us a little bit of snark. Tiff is giving us a little bit of snark. Like, I'm excited to see next episode kind of how it blows up. Yeah. If it blows up. But yeah, that's kind of where it's just so interesting, because I really was thinking that when I saw the tribes, I was like, that could be kind of like smart, like, you know, strategic brunette alliance. And it has not come to fruition.
Yep. I think that's a really good, you know, it brings up the memory. I don't know if you ever watched 30 Rock, but there's when Matt Damon is on the show and he's dating Liz Lemon, his character's dating Liz Lemon. And mm-hmm. then the episode, they break up because they're too similar, and they're stuck on a plane, and the plane is like really hot. And all of a sudden it becomes this like standoff, and Liz is using like an old man as a body. And it's just because they're too similar. It's like, you get along with somebody until you don't, when you're too similar with them. And then you're all of a sudden just like, I can't.
Like, no.
Because if you see so much of somebody, of yourself in somebody, obviously they could help you build a bridge. But in a game like Survivor, you know the duplicitous things that you would do. And if you see yourself in somebody else, you're like, well, if I think I would do that, then that person is probably thinking the exact same thing. And you just kind of butt heads.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it a couple times. It's somebody is saying, it's like the Shannon, Aubrey and Genevieve rivalry is similar to Shannon and Sage, which I kind of see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think Shannon and Sage feels more like Rizzo and Charlie, because I don't know that Shannon right. really caught on to it. And it was mainly Sage.
A little one-sided.
Yeah. But I do get it. I think Shannon and Sage similar in different ways. They were the yeah. two kind of people on your season who were a little bit more spiritual.
Totally.
And so maybe it's also that, but yeah, I think the edit is interesting and I do think it's mm-hmm. gonna come down to one or the other. Only one can survive.
And the other thing about like similarity is, you know, in the back of your head, you're always thinking about a final tribal, as I'm sure, especially the 50s, like are one brain always there. And it's easier to argue your case against somebody who's played a different game than you. And of course, right now, like they could both go off and do wildly different games, but I'm sure they're both kind of like, if we're both kind of these strategic players, you know, like is there going to be enough differences to differentiate mm-hmm. like why I deserve to win over the other? And so I think that's also in the back probably of your mind of like, you kind of want an alliance with people who at final three, you think you could beat or that you, mm-hmm. you are different enough from that you could make a case for why you should beat them. So I'm also wondering if that is a little bit going on in either of their heads.
You gotta survive to the next day, but I think that anybody's lying in this game that they're not thinking of the glory of making the final three
for sure.
For 50. Yeah. Cause I mean, they're all here for fun. Obviously they're all here cause they want to play a great game, but it's also, I mean, you're also on one of the most iconic seasons of Survivor in this show.
For sure.
So you'd be, I think, naive to not think about that.
Right.
Now, okay. I want to talk about a little bit about the elephant in the room.
Mm.
And that would be Mr. Zachary Brown mm-hmm. of the Zach Brown Band.
Of Zach Brown Band fame.
Of Zach Brown Band fame. So what were your thoughts of this going into the episode? And then how did you feel after the episode?
So I'll be honest, going into it, I was expecting maybe the more traditional Survivor celeb reward crossover or like branded reward crossover, like blah, 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 Applebee's, so on and so forth, where it's like, it is definitely mentioned a lot, but it doesn't take 10 minutes of time. It doesn't become the focus of the episode. It's just like a fun, like color filter that's on top of a normal Survivor reward. Maybe there's like 3 extra minutes of something. Mm-hmm. Then watching it, I was like, hold on a second. Like I had a number of thoughts. The first was, I'm shocked that this many people know what Zach Brown looks like. I know his song, but I have no idea what he looks like.
Real.
And then the second was like, wait, is he also a chef? Like I had to like do a little Googling, like why is he going to cook them food? That makes absolutely no sense to me. And then my third thought was after like it became just this, like, I don't even know what you would call that. Like Zach Brown does Survivor, that like this, it felt so, it really seemed to just epitomize everything that I don't like about, new seasons of like of kind of this new era of Survivor in recent years, where it just seems like the producers are pretty disconnected from like what we love about mm-hmm. Survivor, and that like me watching Zach Brown, who is not starving, is not fighting for his life, and is not actually a contestant on Survivor, spearfish what I think, you know, some podcasts debunked as like a fake fishing thing. Yeah. Like that's not actually interesting to me. That's not why I watch Survivor. I do not watch it for the celebrities. And it just like really pissed me off.
Yeah.
And then I also had this thought that I was like, I feel like Zach Brown wants to go on Survivor and just paid his way in, which I also fully am against.
Yeah. Why doesn't he just apply to be on Survivor?
Apply.
Why? And I think that obviously you would have an uphill battle, but let's be real here. We've had people. Jimmy Johnson is incredibly famous, right? He was on Survivor.
Mike White,
very famous guy on Survivor, even before, I mean, he was famous before.
School of Rock.
Yeah, School of Rock, and obviously the Emoji Movie, and amongst other things. Very talented guy around for a long time. Yeah. I mean, there are sports people, Lisa Welchel.
Yes.
Lisa Welchel from Facts of Life or Facts of Life. No, what's it? What was it? It'll come. Somebody will tell me.
But yeah, but, like there've been a ton of athletes.
Yeah.
And like, it just, it feels like he got this cheat code to like experience Survivor and then dip on out. And I hate everything about that. And I also like, as someone who did it, like it's hard, it's awful. And now what? Zach Brown is like, oh, I have a taste of the experience. Get out. No, you do not.
Yep. Yeah. And I think, okay, I went into it. Everyone got so mad at the 49 finale with that trailer. I was like, okay, let's all take a breath. Like, we don't know what it's going to be. You know, celebrities can be fans too. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just an eternal optimist, and that is one of my biggest faults. And so I went in and it's like, you know what? I did not expect. So I rewatched the episode today. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, cards on the table, did not rewatch the Zach Brown part. Because I watched it the first time and I was like, you know what? That was enough. I took a screenshot of, I need to find it, of when on the timeline they started the challenge and when they stopped talking about Zach Brown. And I know technically the Zach Brown segment was only like 11 minutes and all that stuff, but they bring out Zach Brown and everyone freaks out before the challenge. They do the challenge. Everyone freaks out about, you know, not being able to go on the Zach Brown reward after the challenge. They do the reward and then people freak out about not being able to see Zach Brown after that. It is genuinely, without commercials, like 25 minutes. And obviously part of that is a challenge, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like, that's so much. That's so much time spent.
So much.
When we get a 3-2-1 vote with Mike White leaving.
So that's the other thing that I think really annoys me about this is like, we, on that reward, we did not get, there was no character development for any of that the folks on the reward.
Such a good point.
So that's dead time. Yeah. I'm not like, I don't, all I saw was like Aubrey Swain and Coach crying and maybe Jennifer, like, but that didn't tell me anything about their game, anything about their alliances. Like, you didn't, it was not actually productive to the game of Survivor. And that's what pissed me off. And like, sure, we have seen some other rewards from mainly older seasons that are like a cultural thing where like they get to experience like some like type of cultural event with like from where it's being filmed or something like very native to where it's being filmed. And you could argue that a lot of those, they're not, you don't really see game character development, but it's like Survivor paying a little bit of homage to these places that it's being filmed, and you get to see the, like, it feels way more about Survivor and the players in that sense. This just felt like it was all about Zach Brown. And that's what annoyed me, is that this felt like it was just furthering Zach Brown and it wasn't doing anything for my Survivor people, especially to your point, because we had a sick tribal council and Mike White went home.
Yeah. It feels kind of silly that we lose such a huge character on the episode where they spend 30 minutes on Zach Brown. And not only that, it is, I mean, the speaker, they show the speaker at the reward that was playing Chicken Fried. Zach Brown owns that speaker company. I will say, Will from The Specialists, shout out Will, he knows somebody. He there was a sound guy who invented that speaker, and Zach Brown bought the company. So it is also tied to Survivor, but... Okay. It is still, and then there, the wine was Zach Brown wine. So it was definitely an ad, but I think here's the thing. What if they had hidden, you know, all the idols, regular idols, that hide a boomerang idol at the Zach Brown reward. And that's how you also bring in Billie Eilish. And then that's, we're all done, done in one fell swoop.
Check. Did that's all of our product placement.
All of it in one. And you know what? I will say, I do think that the reward, I'm happy that the reward isn't just fruit. I'm happy that the
thank
reward,
you so much.
Shout out. I'm happy that the reward is, I'm genuinely happy that this reward is something that people were crying over not getting, because that's what rewards should be in Survivor.
True.
It's just the amount of time that was spent is really the issue I had. If this was a normal reward where we got the normal amount of time spent on this reward, we would all be very like, thank God it's a reward that people are upset about losing. Which we don't have that often anymore.
That's actually a great point. Like, I wonder if I would feel differently if it was just, if it was normal reward time. I do think the fact that he like had to spear fish, like, I just think him fishing for it, I'm like, eye roll. Like, yeah. We don't need you to cook for us. In fact, I feel like it was probably all fake, which just like what we love about Survivor is that it's mainly not contrived.
Yeah.
And a lot of reality TV is. So like, don't do this thing where like people can poke holes, because they will.
Yeah, they will.
And so
I'm not going to lie. So I did see that. It was, who was it? It was Brittany Haynes. That was the one that showed that. I did watch the clip. And when I rewatched, I mean, I watched the small segment of Smear Fish. I didn't see the string. I believe that it's fake. Right. Like, I do believe that it's fake. I can't see it. So I'm going to let the other investigative journalists figure that one out. I'm over my head. I didn't see it.
In all of the, like, we've had some amazing Fisher survivors out there, and no offense, Zach Brown, but I just like, don't think that you could spear the biggest fish that's ever been speared on Survivor. I think like Ozzy or Rupert or Boston Rob or whoever got the shark, like somebody like that. Was that Richard? I don't know. Somebody else would have showed you up. That was me being like, there's no way this, you can't get that title. Somebody else has it.
Exactly. I agree. Okay. We have this question from Rizmo. Would Sophie rather have the fruit reward or the Zach Brown reward?
You know, what's crazy is like, I would for fish, I would have to say like, okay, it's like real food. Mm-hmm. I was like, were there, I just remember seeing like the, it looked like maybe there were some carbs. There were some other things.
I think
things.
They had rice. I think it was like, I think he did like basically like a rice bowl. Like it was like a broken down like rice bowl kind of situation. Okay. I think.
So here's the deal. For sustenance reasons, I would have to go Zach Brown. But I do think like, I feel like I would be a little bit like Tiffany, who looked like she was struggling to like keep it together and not laugh during that, because I struggle. Like, I like Zach Brown's one song, but he's not really the music artist for me. And I would just be like, I want to just keep eating. I don't want to sit here and listen to your music.
Yep. I hope that like Survivor takes it to heart that we, number one, don't like being lied to. That's number one. But number two, we care about the show. And the thing that I worry that they're going to take to heart more than the actual is that the numbers went up. And they went up a lot for the Zach Brown episode. So episode three, they had 4.88, I think it was, million viewers. The first episode had 5.something. Episode 5.06, I think it was. Episode three had 4.88 million viewers is what I found. And then Zach Brown had 5.22 million viewers. So it was even more than the premiere episode. So I'm just nervous that they're going to look at those numbers and not listen to the words that we're saying. I really think in the grand scheme of things, like, having a celebrity is not the worst thing in the world. It's just like, we're not watching American Idol. We're not watching, a Christmas special with a bunch of celebrity cameos. We're watching Survivor and we want to see game.
Well, I think that's fascinating to me that the viewership went up. But I'm curious, honestly, because like, I'm curious who paid who, but like, I wonder if Survivor has enough money to keep getting, like, I would love to know the contract terms that were negotiated with Zach Brown and Survivor. Cause I'm curious, like, will they invest in that? Who knows?
I mean, I will say, if they're getting money from Zach Brown, and then if we can get things because of this, and we have to deal with just one 20-minute segment a season, but we get a live reunion every year, or, you know, whatever, maybe I'm willing to give up a couple things.
Or like, if it, I don't know, was somebody who was in my Spotify top five, then like, bring them out. I don't care.
Why? Here's the thing. I'm a big Fall Out Boy fan, and Pete Wentz and Jeff Probst are best friends. Why aren't we getting a Fall Out Boy segment? I would be very excited.
Come on. I mean, Billie Eilish is not quite, I mean, she's already doing her things, but like, yeah, there are plenty of celeb Survivor fans. Get Jimmy Fallon to like, do a little comedy set. Sia, even.
Yeah, Sia's not, the musician going out there not being Sia is kind of crazy. Do we think that she's mad about that? Or do you think that she said no?
I feel like she probably said no. I feel like that's not quite her vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know if she can maintain her like wigs in that humidity, and she loves to, you know, cover her face. So I wonder if that was it. She was like, no, I absolutely cannot spearfish with my wig or in my costume. Yeah. So she said no.
I think you're probably right. I think this is another thing about Survivor. A lot of times Survivor production takes things slightly too far. Whether that's doing the same thing 5 seasons in a row and then being like, fine, we won't do it anymore. And then it gets better. But they never have the diversification of like changing. They take it too far with it's always just slightly too far. If they could just meet in the middle, I don't think the outrage would be this big.
I agree. If they could meet in the middle and just shorten it like that, that was a massive time segment. Yeah. And yes, we now have 1.5-hour episodes, but it still dominated. Yeah, that was like the big takeaway.
Yeah.
And not the amazing vote and the crazy tribal council and all of the drama leading up to it. But I agree with you. I feel like moderation, everything in moderation.
Now let's talk about this crazy vote. Let's talk about this crazy tribal council. So obviously the pink tribe whose name is escaping me. They lose once again in a defeated way. That was one of the most depressing ends to a challenge I think I've ever seen.
Oh my God. When like they're coming out and Jeff is like announcing it, like first Ozzy crawls out. Like I was like, oh no, they looked.
It was rough. It was rough. It was really, I had a tear. I was like, man, I can't even imagine what they were experiencing there. And then they have to go back to their camp and figure something out. The first person on the chopping block was Angelina. And Mike did not want Angelina, as we know. Then Mike changed it to Emily, and then it got changed back to Mike. What are your thoughts about the David versus Goliath 3 going against each other, protecting each other? Overall thoughts on that?
My first thought was like, you guys know that you're going to be targeted as a threesome, right? Like like Angelina being in White Lotus and like Mike and Christian, like I just feel like with a returner season, there are alliances that you got to look out for. And that, is that the only like true strong threesome alliance?
I think so, season? Because there are 3 seasons with 3 people. I think it was a David versus Goliath 46 and... Or is it just those two?
48, two.
And but 48.
Joe, we know that Joe and Kyle and Camilla are not like a threesome in the way that like Angelina, Mike, and Christian are truly like a threesome all on the same page.
And 46 was like never a threesome. Like Tiffany and Q maybe wanted to work together a little bit, but Charlie was never a part of that. Yeah. So it was never really a threesome, but it was the Dave versus Goliath people that were really the threesome.
And so my thought was like, okay, either you have to be like, all right, we're owning it, we're going strong, which it seems like at first they're trying to do, or you need to be the one who's like, screw these other two, you know, and cannibalize the alliance, or else I feel like you're going to get targeted. And what we saw was that like, yeah, chatter is always that there is this David and Goliath threesome. And so I thought it was smart in the end for Christian to end up flipping on Mike. Because I couldn't see that threesome going far, especially because Angelina is not playing like the Angelina we knew. She's kind of a non-entity, dare I say. And like, if you're going to be this threesome that people are coming after, you got to all be playing. And Angelina just seems like along for the ride. And Mike seems to be, I don't know, just like casting for White Lotus, kind of. So really the person who's like game I've most enjoyed watching so far is Christian's, and like he is hungry and down to get it. And so I was like on his side. I mean, I love Mike White and he was giving a great amount of snark and like some hilarious lines, but he came way too hard for Christian. Yeah. And I think bringing up Gabby was a little bit below the belt. And I think it was that moment that made Christian be like, hold on a second. Like, I don't know if I really want to work with you. I guess I would rather work with unreliable narrator Emily.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was the Gabby thing was, I think, honestly, I don't think it's incorrect for him to think that. I also, you know, I'm also somebody who I didn't hate that Gabby turned on Christian. I thought it made sense. You have a very similar game. You work hand in hand. Like, I get it. And if anyone's going to understand that, you know, turning on somebody, it's Christian. I feel like he's a very game oriented person. Obviously he was hurt, but that was kind of, that him crying was hard to watch. Daryl Seymour in the comments brings up a very good point. Mike targeted Christian in 37 and Davey saved Christian. Mike, I think Mike voted for Christian like 3 or 4 times in David versus Goliath. And obviously it's been 7 years, right? But you know, it's not Angelina and Mike White are a very clear duo.
Yes.
Mike White and Christian have been friends previous to this. They talked. They were close. Angelina's gone on record saying that the only thing tying her Christian to her was Mike White. But now that that's kind of been severed, they're really not friends anymore. Right. It's not like this is Gabby on the season. It's not like Davey and Christian. It's somebody who I think they were on like wobbly like ground to begin with. It's not like they hated each other, but they definitely didn't play together to begin with. They were, I mean, the two of them were Goliaths and then Christian was a David. So it makes sense, but it was still shocking.
It was still shocking. I think especially just given that like who Christian chose to ally himself with and protect Emily has been like, loose-lipped to say the least. And believe me, it has been so fun to watch her. I am loving this mess. I'm here for it. This is what I want to see as a viewer. But if I was her ally, I would be like, what? Like, I don't know if I would, she seems difficult to work with. And so, I agree that like at the end of the day, I feel like Christian, take out Mike White. You got yourself a little bit of a shark who probably was not going to stay too loyal to you. You're probably the bottom of that threesome as, you know, as we've talked about, but I am like, damn, he is giving Emily like, you know, a lot of chances here. And I'm curious if, like, they've magically recovered from her last two, you know, like absolutely slip spilling the bean. Although like Ozzy didn't really clock that at all. Like he still voted for Angelina. Well, I'm curious to see how that will play out, but it was just funny to me that like, I mean, Emily, keep running with it. Like Christian keeps forgiving you, like take a mile, girl.
I think so. I made a video about this recently because I think there was something that Christian said. It was either in his preseason press or during the game or afterwards, whatever, during Dave versus Goliath. I remember a lot about Dave versus Goliath because it was the first season I watched live. So a lot of it stuck in my brain.
Good one to watch live.
Especially because I love Christian so much. So anything he said, I just like, it stuck with me. But he basically said that he really likes chaos in a game like Survivor because if you have a plan, if you have a defense, if you have something, you know, set up that you can work with, if you have an alliance, whatever, it's very clear how people can play around that. But if there's chaos, then nobody can really make any plans because it's all very chaotic. And even though I can't make plans, no one else can make plans. I think Ryan, when I was talking about it with Ryan, he called it the Game of Thrones chaos ladder or something, which I don't know exactly. So he said this and obviously he didn't win, but he does, you know, chaos seems to work well for him. And I think that he has the mind to be able to respond to somebody who might be a little bit messy, like Emily. So I think that actually works for him in the long run.
Maybe. I think you're right. I mean, watching it, I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen because they are chaotic and irrational. And you're so right. Like, you can't predict what an irrational person is going to do. And so it makes it such that I never know what Emily's next move is going to be. Yep. And I think you're right that like, it seems like Christian really vibes with that. And maybe the two of them are about to go super far. I would love to see that happen.
We have two really great points here in the comments. St. Cliffo is saying, what does cutting Emily tell the other tribes where Christian has other alliances? He has friends in Nick and Rick and Ceree if he can get back with them. That's also a very good point. If he cuts Emily here, he's potentially burning a very close alliance with Rick and a very good alliance with Ceri. I think that's a great point. What do you think about that?
That's like for longevity in the game, mm-hmm. that's definitely a smart move on Christian's part. Whereas like keeping Mike would just, I think, signal to like, if, you know, whenever we get out of this three, if we go back to two, or if we fully, whenever that happens, if the three David and Goliaths remain, that's sending a signal that like, that's who you're with. Yeah. Whereas two, and I forget the commoner's name, but in keeping Emily, it's maintaining those relationships. And we all know that you want to make sure you're tending your little gardens from afar. And that's what Christian is doing in keeping Emily. He's making sure that those relationships with Ceri and Devon's on those other tribes are like preserved.
Yeah. And also, if you think about it, like, I talked to Kyle about something similar, and he was saying like, you know, when we merged, you know, their original tribe, I can't think of their name, the Orange Tribe, went in with numbers in 48.
I never know.
And
the name.
They knew, I always forget. And then they knew they had to lose somebody. They had to not be like the Green Tribe in 46 and be like, we can't, no, we're going to vote on somebody else, not us.
Right.
And so you kind of have to have a sacrificial lamb in order to kind of prove to people, look, we're not together. And Charity was that theirs in mm-hmm. season 48. And so maybe in this sense for Christian's game, unfortunately, it was Mike. And, you know, in Survivor, you can't play too well. And I think Mike was also kind of playing too well.
I agree. I think Mike was playing a little too well. And I also think like, yeah, you either need a sacrificial lamb or you just sometimes need to show that like, yo, I'm down to play ball and, mm-hmm. and no bond is as tight as you think.
Yeah.
And like in voting out somebody from your tribe or from a supposed alliance, you're kind of signaling that like, yo, I'm open for business. Mm-hmm. And like I could be used or I could be game to join other alliances. And it's a great way to like keep doors open, mm-hmm. which I feel like that's what you want at this stage for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we had another good point here in the comments. Everybody is criticizing Emily, but she's playing her own game for herself rather well, I believe. And it's not Christian's game. I mean, that is true. Mm-hmm. Emily's name was coming up. It wasn't Christian's name that was coming mm-hmm. up. Emily was fearing hurt for herself. She wanted numbers. And that's why, and she felt like she could trust Ozzy. Who knows if she actually could, but that's also true. You have to play your own game. You can't, your game can't always be dictated by the people around you.
I feel like what's funny is I think maybe it's less of a criticism of Emily's game that we're seeing. And it's more of, this is just so different than how she played the first time. Like she was really leaning into like financial analyst, I don't have a ton of emotion, I don't really make relationships. Whereas this game, she's like chopping it up with everyone. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like she and Ozzy are like hanging, which that's an unlikely duo, but I kind of love it. Yeah. So I guess I feel like a lot of the comments on Emily's games are more just like surprised, like, oh my God, why is she acting like this? This doesn't seem like her. But to your point, yeah, she is setting herself up for success just in a chaotic way that maybe, you know, season XX, Emily wouldn't have done.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know what, if we look at the silver lining about losing Mike White here, obviously I think it's good for Christian's game. I think it's good for, but you know what the real silver lining is? He went and to a resort by himself and wrote season 4 of White Lotus.
Excellent.
And he was completely alone by himself. And so if season 4 of White Lotus wins any reward or any awards, it is because he was voted up early. I think it might be about fame. We might see a little bit of, you know, I don't know. I do think that it might have a little sprinkling of season 50 in there. So maybe a silver lining here.
Definitely a silver lining. I also feel like I am anticipating an Ozzy cameo. I feel like Ozzy nailed that.
I think he should. And you know what? I think it should be with that bright blue poncho. That's his cameo. Him in that bright blue poncho. ridiculous outfit, but I love
it. I'm in the south of France.
And while we're talking about Ozzy, I do also want to say, I think I said this on another podcast, but I just want to make it abundantly clear.
Yeah.
I am so impressed with him. I think that I, like some other people, maybe were counting him out a little bit physically because he was in his 40s, which is not even that old. He is the way he dives in that water. He is so physical. He is so good.
Yeah.
He is still Ozzy. And I love that.
I fully agree. He is definitely still Ozzy in terms of physical ability. The hair is not for me. But, you know, he's experimenting with his look.
And we love that. Good for him. Good for him. All right. So let's talk about episode 5 a little bit. We're going into something very interesting here. First things first, we are, it's a game of 26 days. They're 24 person cast. There are only 5 people out of this game, right? So there are still 19 people left in this game. And we need to start cutting people fast. And it's starting next episode. We're getting a double boot next episode. Only one tribe is going to be safe, which means we're losing 2 people. And I'm going to read the synopsis, I guess, for the next episode. Tensions flare after tribal council when one castaway's self-proclaimed temper tantrum rubs some members of their tribe the wrong way. Rivals clash in, quote, Operation Bad Blood, and the stakes rise as 2 tribes are sent to tribal council. Okay. So we knew about Operation Bad Blood because that was said in the Next Time on Survivor. That's definitely going to be Charlie versus Rizzo, which makes me think that they might be going to tribal council.
Yep.
I don't know. That was just a lot. We also obviously have this rivalry with Genevieve and Aubrey that could, but what is this temper tantrum?
That's what I'm trying to think. Because I'm like going through the players. I'm like, okay, who would throw a fit? Who would have a real temper tantrum? And like, we don't really have that many like Liz style players left. No. Like I could have seen like Q, you know, like ever the showman giving us a little something, but I'm like going through these players and I'm like, I don't think we have like, nobody's immediately coming to mind as like, they're going to lose their cookies.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, okay, it's gotta be somebody from, again, I don't know the name of the tribe, but like Angelina's tribe.
The pink tribe, yeah.
The pink tribe, because this sounds like a hangry thing. So this sounds like a team that has not eaten or won. But then I'm looking at that tribe and I'm like, I don't think Ozzy would make a temper tantrum. I don't think Emily would have a temper tantrum. Maybe Angelina, but like, no, like, I don't know.
I mean, it's self described as a temper tantrum. So like, maybe it's not that bad. The comments think it's Ozzy. The comments are saying Ozzy. He did say when Christian, when they were leaving tribal council, he did say too late when Christian said, I'll explain it to you later. And he said too late. And I will say in some of his previous seasons, that man can get burned. And when he's burned,
he's upset.
He is burned.
Actually, that's a good flag that I could see it being Ozzy, because he's like now the odd man out on that tribe, the only one who did not vote in the 3 or the 2. And I could see him having like, you know, the classic provider anger. I feed you guys and you guys give me nothing. So maybe.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see now. Okay, so if the Pink Tribe goes back to Tribal Council, who are you most nervous for? Which I think it's safe to assume they're going back to Tribal Council. I mean, they are not doing well in these challenges.
No.
So it's Emily, Christian, Angelina, and Ozzy and Stephanie. Now, who are you most nervous for?
Oh my God, what's crazy is that like Stephanie is just like Stephanie just like hasn't really permeated my brain as somebody to be paying attention to right now. I feel like she's just a number. I guess, well, kind of with that context, now I'm nervous for Ozzy because he's on the outs. He's angry. I don't know if, like, I don't know if Christian or Emily could smooth things over with him. And like I'm trying to think of yeah, I feel like Stephanie and Angelina at this point are not really being seen as threats. So like there's no, like Stephanie, Emily, and Christian are kind of a good three. So I feel like they kind of have their pick of either Angelina or Ozzy. And I feel like if Ozzy says too late, I think that's who they go for. So I think we're scared for Ozzy. It sounds like he might excuse himself from the game after a temper tantrum. Yeah. But that's kind of who I'm thinking. Like I would be shocked if Christian or Emily or even Stephanie get like a vote cast their way.
Yeah, I do think I would be shocked if Emily and Christian go against each other at this point. Not that it's out of the realm of possibility, but I just think I think that Emily's going to be grateful that the 3-2-1 worked. I think that she's not going to be happy that Ozzy's going to be burned because she probably wanted to have saved that. So I could see Angelina going. I could see Garrity says Ozzy has an idol. That is true. But Ozzy has been voted out with an idol before. So it's not, you know, it's not unheard of.
It's not beyond the pale.
It's not. Yeah, exactly. So I think, and I don't think it makes a lot of sense to go for Stephanie because I feel like she has nobody. Her people have been medevaced. I guess she was close with Genevieve. So maybe Genevieve or voted out, or I guess she was like, I guess I'll work with Rizzo. So she just doesn't really have, it doesn't make sense. I don't think Angelina has anybody because Angelina was alone on that tribe to begin with. The only person connected to anybody is Ozzy, but Ozzy is also connected with Emily. So
yeah, it is, you know, it's interesting because Ozzy has the idol. So there's a chance that he plays it for himself. I just feel like Ozzy's radar for himself being in trouble has not been super high. And like Emily even told him that they were targeting her and, you know, to vote. Like, did she say vote Mike or did she just tell him
I think that she just said, I think it's going to be me. And then Ozzy just dismissed it and was like, no, everyone's voting Angelina. And I think she's like, I'm very nervous. Things are off. It's like going to be me. But I think he was dismissing it because I think he thought it was just Emily being neurotic.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I was like, she told you and then that's what happened. You can't really be, or I guess, or that's not what happened, but I don't know. I'm not him having an idol. I agree with you. There's definitely still a chance that he goes home.
Yeah. Okay. Then on the tribe that did not go to tribe, one of the tribes that did not go to tribal council, we've got Jonathan, Dee, Sari, Camilla, Charlie, Rizzo, Rick.
Yes.
So are you worried about?
Yeah. I was gonna say that's the non-beefcake tribe. I am worried. I would say that I would be worried about Rizzo, but I know that he has an idol. But I actually am worried about Rizzo because I don't think I don't think he's aware of Charlie's beef with him. And we saw early on people on his tribe getting annoyed with him and his just Gen Z-ness. And I'm not sure yet if he has fully ingratiated himself to them. You know, like Sari was kind of annoyed with him early on. And I feel like she's, I would say, kind of running things behind the game. In theory, we should be worried about Sari because Dee and Jonathan were like, yo, we got to get her out. But I don't know. Sari is such a powerful player. I'm like curious if she will see that coming, if they're going to, that like, look, I'm the big kahuna here and I gotta cover my back. So I'm also a little worried about Sari. And then I kind of think that's it. I kind of think my big one, like I think Camilla's fine under the radar. I feel like Dee will fly under the radar. I feel like I don't think other folks will be gunning for them. I think people are going to be gunning for Rizzo and people are going to be gunning for Sari.
I see that. I'm nervous. I think I'm more nervous about blowback than people gunning for people. And I think the person that I'm most nervous for on this tribe is Charlie. Just because it's giving Stephen Fishback from Second Chances, where Stephen Fishback is just so like blinders on for Joe Anglim. And just going, and it's just like, it never works out. And then it ends up being him instead. And I just feel like I genuinely feel like Charlie has blinders on. Now, that could obviously be the edit. Maybe the only thing we're hearing about is Rizzo when he's probably talking about everybody. But it just is like Rizzo, Rizzo, Rizzo from him. And so I'm just nervous about that.
That is a great flag that me as somebody who, like, honestly, until I watched my season and saw people talking about, like, the edit, I was just, like, an idiot and oblivious to. But that's a good point that, like, last tribe it was Rizzo, or last episode it was Rizzo, Rizzo, Rizzo. And that, yeah, it's, that seems like, I agree with you, too much of a slam dunk. And I feel like, yeah, now I'm worried for Charlie.
I'm worried. But I do think that Charlie's a very good player. And I think he could figure a way out of it. But it just, you know, sometimes that baggage really, you know, screws you up and you can't get off of something.
Yeah. And we know that Rizzo has an idol.
And we know that Rizzo has an idol. It's really, it's like anybody who is a part, like, again, it's like, the person that we're worried about has an idol. Is that going to help? Is it not? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then on the last tribe, we've got, let's see if I can get all these people. We've got Colby. That's it. Colby, Genevieve, Aubrey, Joe, Coach.
Chrissy.
Yes. And
Tiff.
Got it. You got it. Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Okay. Who are you fearing for on this group?
So it's interesting because we have kind of like, we had what could have been like women versus men. Like at one point when coach made Chrissy cry, I was like, oh, are we going to have girls v boys? But then the Aubrey Genevieve of it all makes me think that one of them, and I'm more worried for Genevieve than I am for Aubrey, because I feel like the Tiff coming to Aubrey, like Genevieve is looking a little bit more sketchy than Aubrey in this moment. So I'm worried for that. I'm not really worried for any of the three big beefy men. I feel like they are just kind of meat shields, and I honestly think they're probably going to win this challenge. So I feel like they're fine. Yeah. It's really just Genevieve for me who I'm worried about. Like I can't really see Tiff going home. Maybe it would be like a weird Chrissy thing where it's just like, it's just an easy vote, but there's never any point, like don't waste a vote. And like, I would hope that season 50 wouldn't waste a vote, but it's really just kind of Aubrey who's top of my, or excuse me, Genevieve who's top of my list. And then also to your point earlier about like, you know, Rizzo, 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 Genevieve, or excuse me, Aubrey. I feel like those are the two that there's some beef there. And I feel like they have bad blood too. So it could be one of the two of them.
I think that's a really good point. And I do think you're right. I do think that this is the tribe that's not going to be going to tribal council. Yeah. That being said, you know, the other tribe, the blue tribe, they did very well. They were very close to, you know, but there's just something about, I feel like that, this other tribe, the one that won and got to go to the Zac Brown reward. I feel like that Zac Brown did something for all of the hate that we're giving to the Zac Brown reward. Yeah. Imagine being out there, you know, as somebody who loves the arts and loves music, like I think I would have just been so excited to hear music. I think I do think it's really, fish is probably not the best thing to give people when they themselves can go fishing. But, you know, it's spices and things that you haven't had in a week and a half, you know.
You know what? I really was shitting on the Zac Brown reward. But actually, one of the things I did miss most when I was out there was music. Because I, like, Spotify is my most used app. I love music. It pumps me up. Like, I am not a TV person. I am a music person. And I think that there is something to be said for morale boosts and like the intangible effects of art and music. And so actually I feel like this reward sans music would not give the team that extra juice the way I think, like, it pains me to admit, but I think like getting to listen to music would really I think that might be it. Because I think the other thing, like a little BTS, like, we're not allowed to sing because a lot of what you would sing is copyright. So like, it's not even like we're not just listening to music. You can't even like make your own music really or sing. And so I actually think, yeah, I think this could have been really healing, and that shit, they might be going in and ready to go beast mode because of the dulcet tones of Zac Brown.
I mean, who knows? You know, you never know if the reward is actually going to bring people closer together. But I do think that that is something that could potentially affect.
I agree.
Affect them. I do think we're fine. I'm not happy that we're getting a double boot, but we need it with 24 people. We absolutely need that. So I'm happy we're finally getting one. Right. And I think it's just going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out.
I know. I wish it was like a little bit more spicy than just like the two tribes who lose go to council. Like, I don't know. I wish there was some shake it up.
I agree. I think, okay, so this is the my theory for what's going to happen after this. I think the next episode, it's a 2-hour episode, not this episode, but the one after one is a 2-hour episode. And so I think we're losing three people. And my current working theory is no tribal immunity. It's every tribe gets to have individual immunity, and every tribe also goes to tribal council.
Oh, I love that.
I don't know if that's real or whatever. It's just my working theory. Ryan said it could also potentially be like a double boot and then a regular boot. So like two episodes together, which I could also see, but I think mine's more interesting.
Yours is more interesting. Yours is also what I hope happens. Cause that's what I was kind of want. Like, you know, sometimes we'll see this in the merge or like mergatory where like one person can get immunity, like, or one tribe is completely immune, but then like one person can get immunity from like the group that goes to tribal or whatever. But like, wow.
Yeah, wouldn't that be crazy?
That triple. Oh my God. Yes. Your lips to Survivor producer God's ears, please.
It would be really crazy. And I think it would be really interesting also because it's not just like, I don't know. I think there's also a world where maybe the first, like, you know, the person who stands the longest or holds it the longest wins food for their tribe and then can also watch everybody go to tribal council or something. Or like there's something like that. We've seen it before when, you know, they've done something like this with two tribes and, you know, they can go and watch. But I think it'd be really interesting.
I hope they spice it up like that. Those are the things where I'm like, as a fan, I'm so glad. I'm like, do that crazy tribal. I would never want to play it because then, you know, you're like, fuck, I could be at risk even if we win. And so, oh God, I hope they do that.
Yeah, I think it'd be crazy. But I do think, and then I think then after that, the merge would be the episode. But who knows?
Right.
I don't, you know, you never know.
At what? We would be at like minus two, 17. So we'll
be at 14, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Which would be about half, and we'd be about halfway through the game. So who knows? Who knows? I know. Okay, Sophie, we're now at the most important part of the episode. Yeah. And we're going to award the alley-oop. Mm-hmm. For those who are new listening, the alley-oop award is the person that we think is setting themselves up the best for the next episode. So who has laid the groundwork? Now, obviously, we didn't get a lot of gameplay this episode. We got a lot of gameplay from Pink. Vatu, I think, is their tribe name. But from the other two tribes, we didn't get a ton of gameplay. So I do think this is going to be a more challenging one than most. But Sophie, what are your thoughts here for this?
So initially, I was like, okay, who's really like making connections, sitting pretty, seeming to be chilling? And I actually, for me, which I feel like this might seem like a little bit of a 180, but I think it's at this point, I think it's Emily, because within that tribe, I cannot see Christian deciding. I can't see Christian deciding to flip on her. Mm. I can't see Stephanie wanting to flip on her. And like, that's two. And I mean, maybe like Ozzy is kind of a question mark, but like, I feel like Christian pissed Ozzy off more than Emily. Like Emily, like tried to tell him things. And so I feel like she has some plausible deniability there, but I just feel like looking at where she sits within her current tribe, I feel like she is set up well there. And then I also think, I'm trying to remember who her peeps were from her first tribe.
It was Christian, Rick, and Suri were her big, big ones. Yeah.
And like, I feel like Rick and Suri are great people to know going into the merge. Like, not like, I mean, if Suri can survive this vote, if it ends up, if Dee and Jonathan end up like really trying to make that happen, but like Rick's name is out of it. Like, nobody's really coming for Rick. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think she, to whoever's comment was like, she's playing her own game. Like, she's really doing a good job, actually. Like, she has a lot of allies. And aside from Mike targeting her, like, nobody else, like, I really can't see anybody else flipping on her. So I feel like she's getting the alley-oop for what, like, yeah, maybe at the surface you could call kind of a crazy strategy, but it's working out in that actually the person gunning for her is gone. And now she's in a position where I can't see her being voted out of her tribe. Like, even Christian, like, maybe Ozzy could get Angelina to flip on Christian and then maybe pull in step. Like, there's or uses. I don't, like, there's a chance that Ozzy could, like, go bad blood and try to get Christian out, but I don't even see him doing that with Emily. So that's kind of who I'm alley-ooping.
I think that you're totally right with this, because also another thing is, like, she connected with Angelina also, like, not that episode, but that an episode prior, she did connect with Angelina. She told Angelina, hey, they were gunning for you since before.
Right.
And she obviously has connected with Ozzy. And I think that you're right. She does have some plausible deniability when it comes to, you know, the not telling Ozzy, because she's like, Ozzy, like, I was just nervous, I think that the person who's going to get most of the anger is Christian. I don't think it's going to be Emily. And so I think that you're 1,000% right. I do think that Emily is sitting the best here. And, you know, we'll see if it actually ends up working for her, but I think it will. I don't know. I think it will.
Yeah, I agree. I had forgotten that she had laid that groundwork with Angelina. And again, like, with Angelina, she is like, yo, Mike was coming for me. Like, obviously mirror him, you know, like, that's kind of a get out of jail free card in Survivor. If someone's voting for you, you can be like, sorry, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, before I let you go, we have one question that was sent to us a while back, but I think this is very interesting. This is about you. Ooh. From St. Cliffo saying, hey, Teg, can you ask Sophie how different she is viewing the game a year after playing it? And I think this would just be interesting to kind of see, you know, as somebody who was a fan and then, you know, played the game, and then how you're viewing it differently. How has that been for you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to out myself as being a little bit more of, like, a casual Survivor fan before this, where, like, I was watching just because I loved it and thought it was entertaining. I wasn't as, like, into the Reddits and the strategy and all, like, I wasn't super overanalyzing the strategy of all of the players. I was just like, this is great TV. And then when I was out there and when I was playing and then throughout the watching experience, you learn so much about how people play this game or how they think about playing this game when you read people online criticizing your own game. And I feel like where we are with Survivor today is there's kind of this double layered game theory where you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, but they're going to think that I'm going to do that. And then they're going to do this. And then also the layer of, like, and also online in discourse, these are things that people do. And so I think what has changed for me is that, like, what you see is such a, now I'm constantly thinking about that deeper layer that we don't get to see. Like, what we see on TV is often not fully representative of how people are feeling or their strategy. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, some players are keeping some things to themselves. So I feel like when I am viewing it, like, for example, we're talking a lot about, like, Emily's chaos game. And earlier this episode, I was like, she's being crazy. She's not being the Emily that we knew. But this could be not irrational at all, but a very calculated move in Emily to play a chaos game, but to make it seem not only to the confessionals and not only to the other people playing it, but that there is no underlying strategy. And, like, from what we know about Emily, that doesn't make sense. So I would not be surprised if she came into this game being like, I'm going to be the anti-financial analyst, and I'm going to just be a master of chaos, and I'm going to make everybody think that there's no rhyme or reason to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that is now how I am viewing the game, that, yeah, there is, like, the game within the game, which is that, like, a lot of the people who are playing Survivor in Survivor 50 have played before. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they might be concealing some of their game from confessionals or from even their allies, because they know that everybody is trying to, like, yeah, everybody's using history of the game to try to predict what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, it's very interesting, you know, for me personally, with this season, because I've been talking about Survivor Online since season 41. I've been watching for longer, but I started talking about it in season 41, and it was basically once season 41 started airing, I was online yeah. talking about it. So I have literally never ever analyzed a season with returning players, and I think that that is a very interesting thing, because not only have I met some of these people, not a lot, but some,
right.
You also, you know, you go off of like, oh, they've played it this way, but you know, they know that they played it this way, but so does yes. everyone else know that they played it this way. So how does that affect how they're playing the game and blah, 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 blah. It's 100%. So crazy and so weird, but also so exciting. And you know, I do think that this was not the best episode of the season, but I think if you take the Zach Brown out of it, I think that we, you know, we got a 3-2-1 vote in pre-merge. Yes. That's like crazy. So they're bringing it.
And that was like the first true tribal, like that I was really like, it could go either way. Yeah. Like I did not know what Christian was going to do, you know, like it was really, it felt like a genuine toss up and not just like producers trying to hide the inevitable. And that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, it's got like the worst IMDb rating of any Survivor episode ever. It's got like a 3-point something. But I think that also goes to show, you know, Survivor can do high highs and low lows. I think that the premiere of season 50 is one of the best episodes I've seen in
ever
maybe. But, you know, and then we go and spend 20 minutes on Zach Brown. So it is, Survivor is unpredictable because of the players, but also because of how they produce it.
Well, I mean, this is what Mike White said, like maybe last episode where like, he was like, why am I here? Like, this sucks. And he's like, you need the lows for the highs. This is our starving episode. This is the episode where like, we need this Zach Brown so that, you know, this next episode can like blow us out of the water, or that three boot episode can be like insane. You got, you know, it's all relative.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sophie, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. You were, I've told you this before, but you were one of my faves to watch in season 49. Completely. We were robbed of more of your Matt Chad. It's really crazy. You know, you say one thing about fruit one time and all of a sudden.
Yeah, mad.
But this was so much fun chatting with you. Where can the people find you if they want to, you know, follow along?
Follow along at Sophie Segretti on Instagram. In theory, I have a TikTok. I don't post to it. I occasionally post to Instagram. I'm reverting back to fan life. So you'll not a ton going on or things to plug, but just, yeah, at Sophie Segretti on Instagram. And, you know, say hi to me if you see me on the subway. That's it.
Love. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, this super chat, St. Clifford, you're so sweet. Sending some Matt chat love. You're crushing a tag. Guests like Sophie have been great. Aww. I know. We've got some great guests over here. So thank you guys so much for following along, for chatting. I've got a really fun guest next week. I usually don't say it ahead of time, but I'm really excited. Eric Reichenbach, how do you pronounce the last name? From Micronesia and
from giving away idol fame. Oh my God.
Dabu Doodles is coming next week, y'all. So,
oh my God.
We're talking about the double boot. It's going to be very exciting. So I hope to see you guys right back here next week.
I will be here.
Until then.
Asking where he bought his little running shorts that are green and yellow, because those are very in now and I want them.
They are. That's so funny. Oh my God. Well, thank you all so much for chatting. I will see you on the internet, I'll see you next week. But until then, I'll see you on the internet. Have a great rest of your night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.